Well, before we have our reading this morning, I wanted to tell you just a little bit about what you're going to hear. The passage that Pam is going to read today comes from a section that we commonly know as the Beatitudes. And it's right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. It's Jesus' kind of how-to manual on what to do if you are aspiring to be a whole human being in relationship with those around you. Now, there are two metaphors in this passage. It's one that even if you're not a churchgoer or a Christian or anything, you're probably familiar. This is out there. It's in our culture. And the metaphors are about you are called to be salt of the earth, right? And you're called to be light of the world. And Jesus doesn't just pick these metaphors out of nowhere. He uses metaphors that would have been around him, that he would have been able to point to, that people would have been familiar with. I want to stick with the light metaphor today, and he particularly talks about a city set on a hill. And if you look right here, this is Kibbutz En Gev. Richard and some of us that were there in March would recognize that's where we had lunch one day, is at the kibbutz right here on the shore. Yeah, pizza. Oh, that was an embarrassing moment because you can never tell Nat I said this, but Nat, not being totally familiar, I mean, who is familiar with all the kosher laws, right? So we go to the kibbutz, it's very Jewish, high, you know, kosher kitchen, and he finds out that there's pizza. So he orders a pepperoni pizza. And the poor waitress was just mortified, like, ah! I had to say, no, I think we'll go with the cheese pizza. Above Kibbutz En Gev is this mountain. Can you see that butte there? And on top of that butte was one of the cities of the Decapolis. You've heard of that before? And it was up there because it's an easily defensible place. Once you're up there, I mean, you can defend it from anything. But it's so high on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. This is actually the Golan Heights. You've heard of that before, too? You can see that from all over. I don't care where you are on the Sea of Galilee. You can see that. And at night especially, when that was the only thing in that part of the Golan Heights that was lit up, there's En Gev. That would have been lit up. You could have seen it from all over the place. People were totally familiar. So if Jesus would have said, it's like a city set on a hill, you know, he's just gesturing. There it is, right there. Everybody knows exactly what you're talking about and that you can't hide it. That was a shot I grabbed out of the bus window, but you can see from down on ground level, it's even more impressive. So these are things that grow out of the natural experience of the people that were hanging out with Jesus and things that that Jesus would have naturally used. So when we hear this, we know that Jesus was using an example that people could relate to because it was right in their own backyard. So think about that as we're listening to our passage today.
You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.
Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Let's pray. Loving and gracious Spirit, we're grateful for these words of wisdom that come to us from so long ago. May we hear them with fresh ears this day, so they might make their way into our hearts and minds, so that none of us will leave this place unchanged. We gather as followers of Jesus. Amen. Bishop Tutu tells a story. There once was a light bulb which shone and shone and shone like no light bulb that anyone had ever seen before. It captured the limelight and began to strut about and began to think quite big thoughts about itself, about how it was shining so brilliantly, thinking that it was all due to its own merit and its own skill. Then one day, someone disconnected the famous light bulb from the light socket and placed it on a table. And try as it might, it could not bring forth any light or any brilliance. It sat there, looking so disconsolate and dark and cold and useless. It's hard to believe, but it had never realized, it had never known that its light came from the power station and that it had been connected to the dynamo by little wires that lay hidden and unseen and totally uncredited and unsung. For the last few weeks, we've been considering the idea of Ubuntu and the concept that in one word acknowledges the essence of being itself and is probably best translated in the phrase, yeah, all right, we're going to get it. Let's try it again. Ubuntu means I am because we are. And it acknowledges that we are irrevocably and undeniably interconnected. And not just with other human beings, but with all of creation. It's all intertwined. And even the elements of creation, of people that shine the brightest, are pretty dim when they act or think like they've done it all by themselves and have no obligation or no sense of connection to anyone or anything else. Jesus was once asked, what is the greatest commandment of all? And you remember what he said? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. A lot of people think, whoa, Jesus is so smart. Forgetting that that actually comes from Deuteronomy. Connections. It's not a new thing plucked out of nowhere, but it's an continuation and an expansion of a rich tradition. And furthermore, he added and said, also not a new thought, in the same breath, to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that's not an easy task for a lot of people. A lot of people have trouble even liking themselves, let alone loving themselves. And I think that's why we have so many people that mistreat one another, because they can't even get it right for themselves, let alone reflecting a love for other people. I think Jesus got Ubuntu. I think Jesus preached Ubuntu. He lived it. He modeled his life in a way that identified with others and was at its richest when he was in relationship with others. And oftentimes they were others that the religious people said he shouldn't have been hanging around with. Being a neighbor isn't simply being nice, hi, to people you meet on the street. It's recognizing our mutuality, our interdependence. Every person depends on persons to be a person. Again, it seems so silly and elementary to even say that. But my humanity is bound up with yours. Now, and I have checked with Jesus on this, and I've got clearance to say this. And I'm here to tell you that he gives his wholehearted approval for us to go into our Gospels and write in, right here at the end of the Beatitudes, a new Beatitude. Blessed are those who know that I am because we are. Blessed, happy, fortunate are those who realize that I am only because we are. Now, musicians know this phenomena really well. And some of my most memorable experiences, not just as a musician, but in life, and I'd say they were profound religious experiences, are when a group of people can come together and sound as one. We've got a picture on the front cover of the Nuclear Whales saxophone ensemble. And my fellow saxophone player, Emily, looked at that picture and said, "Is that real on the front?" Yes, it's real. And you should hear how wonderful it is when you bring all of those different sounds together from instruments that look so strange. And yet it's almost impossible to get across if you haven't experienced it. But Tutu says it very well. Music would be good even if it were just the contribution of one person. But it is glorious when it is a harmony of different voices. God says it is precisely our diversity that makes for a depth of unity. It is precisely because you are you and I am me that God says, you hold on together. I am because we are. We are so much more together than we are by ourselves. Last week I talked about two of the four big Ubuntu-related events that happened this last month or last week. We talked about Steve Jobs' death and his legacy. We talked about the Nobel Prize for Science being awarded. And so I want to talk about the other two today. The first one is that last week we marked the 80th birthday celebration of that great articulate spokesperson for Ubuntu, the Arch, as they call Desmond Tutu. Dignitaries and celebrities from all over the world came to celebrate with this diminutive ball of energy. We have a friend that was able to attend and posted on his Facebook page movies from his iPhone of the actual ceremony. And it was of Archbishop Tutu up there dancing with the Soweto dancers, this little 80-year-old man just moving and grooving up there, and it was a great celebration. However, the whole thing has been a scandal and has been marred in South Africa because of the South African government's refusal to grant the Dalai Lama a visa to visit the country to celebrate that event. Now, the Dalai Lama, as you know, is a great threat to the South African people, right? Evidently, the ANC government was getting pressure from the Chinese. And they caved to the pressure because the Chinese were worried that if they let the Dalai Lama in, that it would acknowledge the Dalai Lama's status, and they did not want to bring any more attention than has already been brought to the Chinese occupation and oppression of Tibet. So needless to say, Tutu was livid. If you Google and go onto YouTube and see some of the interviews with him, I've never seen him more angry over this episode. He's done everything he can to shame the government and reminding them that you used to be the oppressed ones. And here, how many years later, you have now sided with the oppressors? Have you forgotten so soon what it was like? He said, I cannot believe what I'm seeing. Now, this kind of behavior is especially familiar to Tutu because back in 1980, he was offered an honorary doctorate by Columbia University. And guess what? The South African government wouldn't grant him a visa to leave and come back because he was such a troublemaker. So they said, if you leave, you ain't coming back. And so when faced with that reality, the president and the entire board of trustees of Columbia University got on a plane and flew to South Africa so they could still present him the doctorate in person. It was only a few years later that he then received the Nobel Prize for Peace. And that's what I want to talk about today, is that it was announced last week that three remarkable women are sharing the Nobel Prize for Peace. I can't pronounce her name, Tawakkal Karman from Yemen. Karman is a journalist and a human rights activist, and she's the first Arab woman and the first Yemeni citizen to receive any kind of Nobel Prize. But all of these women, Lema Gbowee and Elizabeth Sirleaf Johnson, all received the Nobel Prize. Lema Gbowee of Liberia, she finally just got fed up. She was tired of the war, of the corruption, of the violence, the rapings and the beatings. And so she got with the women of her Lutheran church and organized the Women in Peacebuilding Network. And she helped lead these women in protests that became so huge, they were like a force of nature. And with the West looking on, it was really awkward to ignore them, they issued a statement to the president. They said this, "In the past, we were silent, but after being killed, raped, dehumanized, and infected with diseases, and watching our children and families destroyed, war has taught us that the future lies in saying no to violence and yes to peace. We will not relent until peace prevails." He tried mightily, but President Charles Taylor simply could not ignore them. Their movement brought an end to the Second Liberian Civil War in 2003 and led to the election of one of the other Nobel Prize winners, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf. Sirleaf, who shares the prize, is another example of how the West, how we can gift Ubuntu. Like so many other Africans of her generation, President Sirleaf traveled to the United States to receive an advanced degree that prepared her to return to Liberia to help create a modern infrastructure to lift up the whole of the country. And of course, one of the things that especially makes her amazing is that she's a fellow United Methodist. Huh? You didn't know that. It's not in the news. But here she is. That's her speaking at our general conference a few years ago. In President Sirleaf's autobiography, This Child Will Be Great, she recounts how influential her early years were, and she echoes Bishop Tutu's words. "You know just how you blossom in the presence of someone who believes in you and who helps you have faith in yourself, who urges you to real thoughts and yet accepts you as you are and not for what you have or can achieve, who does not abandon you because you have failed. And you know just how you tend to wilt in the presence of someone who is forever complaining and finding fault with you. Throughout, Jesus has had tremendous faith in people and got them having faith in themselves with a proper kind of self-assurance." And that's what Ubuntu can do. It can create the right environment for people to blossom, to rise up, to claim their identities as whole human beings. Now you might ask, okay, look, I've heard enough. If Ubuntu is so profound, then why is there so much violence and genocide and tragedy on the continent of Africa? Because when people are not believed to be people, when they are dehumanized as a matter of course, it's easy to justify doing them harm. Africa is still trying to recover from centuries of colonial and imperial abuse. The worst the West has to offer has been visited upon Africa. I mean, it comes to mind, you know, slavery, apartheid, the looting that came with colonialism. I don't know if you know the history of the Congo, but I would recommend you reading a book about the Congo called King Leopold's Ghost. I was shocked. I could not believe what the Belgians did to the Congo. And when we are talking about despots and horrible people that have done unspeakable things to their fellow human beings, King Leopold of Belgium should be mentioned in the same breath with Adolf Hitler, with Pol Pot. He oversaw a genocide of Congo citizens that people estimate to be 12 million people. And it was just so that it could take all of the resources from the Congo. And as long as Belgium was in charge of the Congo, they forbade anyone who was black to have any kind of education. No reading, no writing was not allowed, because they were afraid of what would happen if the people were able to organize and make things happen for themselves. I don't know if you know, but in Liberia and in Sierra Leone, where we have relationships, one of the things that drove the wars there, you remember when they started? It was only a year or so after the Iron Curtain fell. And you know what fueled those wars? Is arms dealers offloading the extra weapons from Russia. Because Russian military units would sell all of their equipment on the cheap because they weren't getting paid by the Soviet government, the former Soviet government. So they all found their way, guess where? To Sierra Leone, to Liberia, into the hands of 10-year-olds. And so Africa is still trying to climb out from all of these things that we have done to them. Not to mention the virulent diseases, the religious and tribal animosities, the natural disasters that would bring any continent to its knees. Ubuntu is not just another communication model, but it's linking of means with ends, a way of being that can help overcome what people face. And it's been a contribution to the positive that we have offered from the West, because at its best, Western-style democracy protects the minority from the majority. And the women that have won the Nobel Prize have depended on that reality so that they could make change. Bishop Tutu says, a person with Ubuntu is open and available to others, affirming of others, does not feel threatened that others are able and good, for he or she has a proper self-assurance that comes from knowing that he or she belongs to a greater whole and is actually diminished when others are humiliated or diminished, when others are tortured or oppressed. The keynote speaker last night at the Islamic Speakers Bureau was a man named Dr. Rami Nashashibi, and his organization, the Inner City Muslim Action Network, works in the Marquette Park neighborhood of Chicago. If any of you are familiar with that neighborhood, you know that it is known for its racial unrest and violence. He works with Jews, Catholics, Protestants, Muslims, who are black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Arab, banding together to fight neighborhood blight, to fight the foreclosure crisis, to help create jobs, to provide health care needs for the poor. And his message was last night, and it's proven in what he does in his neighborhood, is that you've got to start here, where you are, to create dialogue, conversation, take action. There's no hope for genuine peace in the world if we can't make it happen in our own neighborhoods. And where we take responsibility for creating right here the future that we envision for the whole world. I wanted to jump up and shout, Ubuntu! I mean, he's talking about Ubuntu. And then he quoted the Quran. And he reminded everyone gathered there that the Quran says that God created us on purpose in different tribes and nations so that we could do the work of coming to know one another. And that was an integral part of what it meant to be human, was to do the work of getting to know and relate to people that are different than we are. Ubuntu says we are made for relationships, not alienation, for laughter, not fear, for love, not anger, for peace, not war. We are made by love, we are marked by love, and we are expressors of love. I just want to say that for our stream of thought is, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may know who you are and what you do. This light bulb is not connected and therefore has no ability to shine forth. But when we connect with one another, if I can work it, Ubuntu, it only comes when we connect with one another.